Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
meet you this evening, saints. In Jesus' name, we want to welcome Derek and Brandon from Mullingar, Brother Francois's friends. We do welcome you this evening. May the Lord make you feel at home in his house. It's good to be with you. We have a couple of prayer requests as well. Brother Robert and his family, they're all sick. There's so much sickness around at the moment. Brother Bishop, it's good to see him back. People are doing it in shifts. People are sick this weekend. They back next weekend. They get back and other people are sick. So there's a lot of sickness at this time. Sister Charlotte, I think she's supposed to be out of hospital today with her gallbladder and so forth. So she really needs prayer as well. You know, so we have a lot of needs. But the good thing is we have a good shepherd. And we want to come and speak about him a little bit first before we put these issues in prayer. Brother Vlad also, he's lost his bag which contains his Bible. He doesn't know where it is. But the good thing is there's somebody who does know where it is. We might not know where, but there's one who does. We want to pray for Brother Vlad that the Lord would help him to find that bag. Let's open Psalm 23. We'll just continue on the thought of shepherds and sheep. But you want to look at this evening at a shepherd's credentials. The credentials of a shepherd. Now, we're looking last weekend at how to shepherd sheep. But now we want to maybe just look at the credentials for a shepherd. But you would like to focus on the good shepherd this evening. So Psalm 23, we'll just read the first two verses of that to get a start. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Let's also read Matthew chapter 11. Which is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to really get in the Bible quite a lot this evening. Hope you got your Bibles there. Once we finish reading these, we'll ask Paul if he wouldn't mind sticking the screen off. Because people, they don't read their Bibles anymore. They just watch the screen. But it's better to open your own Bible, read the scriptures yourself. Because this is the word of God to us. This is God's revelation to us. And it's a wonderful thing to find and read it yourself. We'll read from verse 28. This is the invitation of the good shepherd, Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's bow our heads. Father, how glad we are that we've done that. And Father, that's one decision that we'll never regret through time or eternity. That Father, we came unto you and we took your yoke upon us. Father, the devil's yoke, it was heavy. Father, what a cruel taskmaster he was to us. How he abused us and how he led us astray. But thank you, Lord, that you laid our iniquities upon the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And that the seeking shepherd, he came to find us in due season. And Father, we heard your voice. And Father, we responded. And Father, how satisfied that we are under this yoke. Father, is anybody here today that's not under this yoke? May this be the day that they find you. Oh, Father, to put it correctly, that you would find them. Because you are the seeking shepherd. And the needs that we have. Father, so much sickness at this time. Our sister Charlotte, we pray for her. Father, that you would grant her grace at this time. As Father, they want to take her back for an operation in a few weeks' time. Father, how we would long that, Father, you would minister grace unto her. That she didn't have to go through such. Father, even Sister Julie, we pray for her as well. That you would help her at this time. Father, Brother Vlad, he doesn't know where his Bible is. Father, you know where his Bible is. And as his father, he's asking you that you'd restore it unto him. That, Father, you would lead him and guide him or someone to find that which is precious to him. Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Now bless your word to us. Bless our two visitors this night. May you bless them with your presence and with fellowship, Lord. Through your word we ask. We think of Brother Francois having traveled. Be with him this weekend. Bless him and his family. Watch over them as well. And every other need, we give it to you now. Father, let your will be done. Have preeminence, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking at this thought of the shepherd's credentials. Now, Psalm 23, it's a psalm everybody knows. And I like something about Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1, where we read, David, he's boasting. The Bible says if we're going to boast, let us boast in the Lord. I don't think anybody should boast about themselves, because there's nothing that any of us can boast about, spiritually speaking. But David was making his boast in the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was proud of that fact. Now, David looked at the nations round about him and he saw there was the Philistines and they worshipped Dagon. And Dagon was a hard taskmaster to serve. And then he looked at the Ammonites or the Amorites and he saw that they worshipped Molech. And they used to sacrifice their children and burn their children, all the things that you know that used to happen in the worship of Molech. And David, he looked at those nations and he looked at who they were under, who they were being shepherded by. And then he looked and he said, Jehovah is my shepherd. Amen. And he was so happy with that fact. And friends, tonight as we gather here, what a privilege it is to be able to say that Jesus is my shepherd. Amen. That's a great thing that somebody can say. Amen. Because we know right from the beginning of time, man has always sought for security. Something beyond themselves. Man has always looked to the supernatural to protect them, to watch over them. No matter where people went, through all civilization, when the missionaries went to Africa, they found people worshiping their ancestors and worshiping different things. And what was the purpose of that worship? People were sincerely seeking some protection. Because man knows that he's a natural creature, but he's in a supernatural world. There's a supernatural realm as well. And man knows that he's got to go through this life. And then there's the door from life into eternity called death. And he knows one day he's got to be guided through that door. He knows that he's vulnerable. Because man, according to the way that God looks at us and types us right through scripture, God always looks at man as sheep. That's what man is. Because if he's our shepherd, then we are sheep. And sheep are so vulnerable. Sheep are such helpless creatures. If the enemy comes in, if a lion gets in, or a cougar, or whatever, a wolf gets in among the sheep, we've said it so many times recently, the sheep have no defense mechanism. There's nothing which they can do to protect themselves. The sheep absolutely need the shepherd. Without a shepherd, a sheep is so vulnerable. And every man inside of his soul since the beginning of time, any person that has taken time to consider the supernatural aspect inside of this mortal dust that you're living in, that there's a soul inside of you. People have always had an uneasiness and have always known that they need guidance. They need protection. The greatest thing people wanted was supernaturally to be protected in some way. And what were they looking for in essence? They were looking for a shepherd. Because that is the role of a shepherd. It's the shepherd's role to protect his sheep. It's the shepherd's role to guide his sheep. It's the shepherd's role and his responsibility to make sure that the sheep have sufficient food and water, pasture during the summer, shelter during the winter, protection from the enemies, to be ministered to with whatever, medicine, ointment, when sickness comes in. Or in the bruising and the battering of a sheep's life. They need the shepherd to come and bind up the wounds and pour in the oil and the wine. And everybody knows that. And although people might make great boasts in these days that we don't need God and all these kind of things, but let that person near death. Let somebody come near that great doorway from time into eternity. And you find all of a sudden somebody's looking for something. You even look in people's cars. Somebody will have a St. Christopher hanging from the mirror. What is that for? They're wanting protection in the journey. They're wanting something beyond themselves. Yes, a lot of it is superstition, but it comes from an innate desire, a need inside of the human soul to be shepherded, to be watched over, to be protected, to be guided and to be led. And God is the one who made man like that. God made man to be dependent on him. God never made people to be independent. God always wanted people to be dependent on him. Because right from the beginning of time, it was in God, it was attributes in this great eternal being God to be a shepherd. He always wanted to be a shepherd. And then he needed sheep in order for him to express who he was as a shepherd. He needed to have sheep. So he made us with the characteristics, spiritually speaking, of sheep. so that he could express who he is, because God always desired that kind of a relationship. And throughout all scripture, there's two special relationships that God always refers to between himself and man. And the first one is a father to his children. It was in God, right from eternity, before time began, to be a father. He wanted to express himself as a father, so he needed children. And he wanted to express himself as a shepherd, so he needed sheep. So he made us like sheep, so that he can meet the need of the human soul to have a shepherd. Because why is God going to make man perfectly independent who doesn't need him? Yet inside of God was a deep, deep desire to express himself and to enter into relationship as a shepherd does to his sheep. So he's going to make man with those deficiencies inside of himself. He's going to make man with the deficiencies like a sheep, the characteristics of a sheep. That sheep are so dependent on a shepherd. We grow up and we go to school and we're taught in school, fend for yourself, make a plan for yourself, follow your own heart and all those things. Yet the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can never trust your heart. You can never trust your heart. This world is trusting the hearts. You hear all these songs saying, follow your heart and all these things. That's the greatest deception. Unless God is dwelling on the throne of that heart is not to be trusted. Because all of us, before we became believers in Christ, we followed our own hearts. We followed our own desires. And we found out that there were many misfortunes in that kind of a life. That heart was a very, very unreliable guide. And the shepherd of this world, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. He's the shepherd of this age. And you look what a cruel shepherd that he is. Look what a man is doing against man. Go to Syria today. Aren't you glad you're not living in a city like Homs, wherever it is, where the people are being blown apart in their houses and the misfortune that man brings upon man? But if you trace it back into the supernatural realm, that is Satan shepherding people as a cruel taskmaster, because that's what he is. And each and every one of us were born under that taskmaster. We didn't know Jehovah. We didn't know Jesus as our shepherd. We just knew that there was something that would tempt us, and there was something that would move us. And sometimes you'd be moved almost against your will. And that was the God of this age. That is a real wicked shepherd. Because, friends, no matter how much people don't want to accept it, but every one of us is shepherded by something tonight. Every one of us here tonight is being shepherded by something, because we're sheep. We might be under a cruel shepherd, but every single one of us is being led and watched over by something. And there's two powers. And one leads you to the kingdoms, the realms of glory, to heaven. And the other one leads you, like Jesus says, the devil, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is the characteristics of the other side of the spiritual world. So it just depends on which shepherd that we have. And David, looking at all the misfortune upon man, David looking at the nations round and about him, and then he looked at Israel, and he saw they had a temple and there was the Shekinah glory. God himself, their shepherd, was tabernacled in a visible form in the temple. The same God had come to Moses and had come in a pillar of fire and a cloud. And he had led Israel as a flock, the Bible says, from Egypt. He had been their shepherd, a visible shepherd, taking them from bondage and slavery in Egypt to a land of milk and honey. And David, he looked at the entire history of Israel under Jehovah Shepherd, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. And he came and he says, I am so glad that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so glad Dagon is not my shepherd. I'm so glad that Molech is not my shepherd. I'm so glad that Pharaoh down there, the god of Egypt, is not my shepherd, because he's a cruel taskmaster. But I'm so glad for the credentials of my shepherd. Because only my shepherd has the correct credentials to be a shepherd. And friends, if you go through time and eternity, right the way from where things began to where things are, there's never been anybody on this earth who had the correct credentials to be called the Good Shepherd apart from Jesus Christ. Nobody else has earned that right to be called the Good Shepherd. Only Christ himself has the credentials to be able to make a claim over us as being our shepherd. And that's the characteristics that we find inside of Christ. But why is it then? Are we so loath? Why is it we're so nervous to give ourselves completely into the hands of the shepherd? You know why? Because you've been under tyrants for too long. That's the problem. We've been under false shepherds. We've been under false systems. We've been abused as sheep. We've been led by wolves in sheep's clothing, like Jesus said. We've been hurt and all these different things. And now as sheep, we don't know who to trust anymore. And that's why Jesus is trying to encourage us in that Matthew 11 to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come and learn of me. If you learn of me, learn of my credentials, learn who I really am, you're going to find rest for your soul. You're going to find rest for the first time, a sheep under a shepherd. Because he is the good shepherd. And friends, just as much as David could say it in his day, this week I was thinking about it so much. I was saying, I am so glad that I committed myself to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. That I committed my soul to him. In Peter, it says that Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That my soul tonight is not being guided just by my own understanding or by my own education or by my own desires and things like that. But I'm so glad that my soul tonight is in the care of the bishop and shepherd of my soul. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And he's the only one that really has the qualifications, the credentials to really be a true shepherd to you and I. Because you look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is called the Shepherd Psalm. And David was a shepherd boy. His father was a shepherd. He became the shepherd king. That's what they called David. And he wrote the Shepherd Psalm. But the way that God has laid out his word is Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23. And if you go and have a look in Psalm 22, Psalm 22 shows us the Psalm of the cross. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And God laid on him, Christ, the good shepherd, the iniquity of us all. So before we could come back to God, God always desired to be our shepherd. Those attributes have always been in him to shepherd us and watch over us and care for us and bring us safely to the fold at the end of this life. But the problem came in is that man had gone astray from his shepherd, right from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Then what happened? The seeking shepherd had to come and find them. And Adam and Eve were trying to get themselves away from God. They didn't have a correct understanding. They'd lost the reality of who the shepherd really was. And I believe it's exactly the same with each and every one of us. Now there's it needs a real revelation of Jesus Christ himself through his spirit to your soul for you really to be able to commit yourself to him as a shepherd. You know, you really need, if you know who he is, if you learn of him, if he reveals himself to you, if Jesus Christ through his spirit today would reveal himself, who he really is, his essence and his character and his motive and who he is, if he would reveal himself to our souls, every single one of us, if we're genuine people, would want to fully relinquish all control to him. To say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want to be a shepherd anymore. I don't want to be under any other shepherd. I found the one that I was looking for. I found the one that my soul was ordained to meet, that my soul has been thirsting for all through time. But the devil is very clever. He gives us false religion. Then he puts us under other shepherds. And then we know it in Ireland, all the abuse that took place to young people and that who were put under supposed men of God, shepherds over flocks. And people have been abused and they've been hurt. And that's why it's a very, very difficult thing for somebody these days to commit themselves to the bishop and shepherd of their soul. But when he comes and reveals himself to you and you know his character, his nature, who he is, friends, there's only one in all time and through eternity that has the credentials to be able to make a claim over us and say, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus said of himself, I am the good shepherd because the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Imagine that. Even before we were born, this shepherd of our souls laid down his life for us so that our sins and our going astray and all the things that we do in going astray from the shepherd of our souls, all of that iniquity, the Bible says, Jesus laid down his own life to pay the penalty, to take our place. So that the great transaction, the great debt of guilt that we had in sin could be paid in full so that Jehovah could come to us, the great spirit God, Jehovah Ra, could come to us and say, I want to be a shepherd of your soul. Amen. And the devil will come and say, but she did this and she did that. And there's Jesus. And he takes the blood from his side and he takes what's recorded against you and he signs it in his blood, pardoned. Because he paid the price in full on the cross when he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he died. And that is why in Psalm 22, look at it, verse 1. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. This shows the price that had to be paid first, Psalm 22, before we could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Before he could enter back into relationship with us as our shepherd. There was a price had to be paid. Our sins, right from our mother's womb, the Bible says we went astray. We are born in sin, the Bible says, shapen in iniquity. We came into this world speaking lies. No one had to teach us to do that which was wrong. No one had to teach us to be selfish. No one had to teach us how to lie. No one had to teach us all these things that we did. Yes, there's the spirit of temptation. There's the devil out there. There's wickedness and evil that enticed us. But already the wickedness was inside of us, which responded to his enticement and led us to do unspeakable things which we wouldn't desire to be mentioned in the congregation of the saints, as we said last week, many of us. But God looking down and with this great desire to express himself and take his position over us as our shepherd, those attributes in him that he desired to express to us as his shepherd, he says, I need to first deal with the sin question. They've gone astray. They've committed iniquity. This has got to be paid. So imagine that great spirit God, he became incarnate in a man. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The great shepherd God, the spirit shepherd that led Israel, became incarnate and became the good shepherd. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm now made flesh. But he didn't come to this earth to be a lord over people, to rule with pomp and all of those kind of things. He came to serve. He came to suffer and he came to die. Because he was born the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice for the sins of man. That the great shepherd became a sheep and went and was sacrificed for us so that we could be reconciled back to our great shepherd. That is what the whole story of the gospel is about. And that's why in verse 1, Psalm 22, this is David now, but he's God in the spirit. And he's seeing Calvary now. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. So exactly what Jesus said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you look in verse 11, he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths. So they've gathered around the cross and they're saying all manner of things about Christ when he's on the cross. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. That's crucifixion. My heart is like wax. When you kept in that position, like Jesus when he died of a broken heart because when the spear went in his side, water and blood came out, showing that there was a division inside of his heart before he died. He says, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And Jesus on the cross is saying, I thirst. And they wanted to give him vinegar mixed with myrrh, a drug, and he refused it. Because he had to die in his full senses. Then he finishes from verse 16. He says, for dogs are always the Gentiles, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. You see him on the cross. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. And what else is happening now? They part my garments among them. There's the soldiers at the foot of the cross. And cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Now friends, that is the credentials of the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. If there's anybody who's got any claim of our souls, there's nobody else that has the right to have a claim of our souls. For someone to come to you and say, I want to lead you through life and I want to lead you into eternity, there's only one that has the qualifications to do that. There's only one that has shown sufficient love. There's only one that has sufficiently shown that he has the full credentials as a real shepherd and bishop of our souls, and that is Christ. No one else, no holy man, no religious man, no person. The Bible says every brother shall supplant. Every man will let you down. Cursed is he that puts his trust in a man, the Bible says. We don't need to trust in man. There's only one that we need to be our shepherd. And he's never failed to bring the soul safely home when a soul's been entrusted completely into his hands. And straight from Psalm 22, we get into Psalm 23, where David says, this Lord, the same one there that we read of in Psalm 22, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I'm so glad that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so glad Jehovah is my shepherd. And we know Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. That same God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when David says, the Lord, Jehovah is my shepherd, we say, Jesus is my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the bishop of my soul. Now, this lack, friends, of revelation of who Jesus is and his desire, I believe for each and every one of us, holds us back from such a blessing. Because if you were a sheep, let's say you were in Palestine, or let's say you were in America, Australia, wherever, South Africa, lots of sheep, Africa, wherever. You know, the greatest thing that can happen to a sheep, the greatest thing is to come under a good shepherd. That's the greatest thing that can happen to a sheep. And the worst thing that can happen to a sheep is to come under a bad shepherd. Because the entire future, the entire life of that sheep is governed by the credentials of the shepherd. Of who the shepherd is. If the shepherd neglects his sheep, if he's cruel, if he's hard, friends, those sheep are going to suffer right from the time that he becomes a shepherd, right to the time that they depart from this life. They're going to suffer. And you've seen it yourself. You see it sometimes as two fields next to one another. And this one here, the shepherd, has tended his pastures properly. And he's taken out all the weeds. And even before the sheep came into that pasture, he's been there. He's taken out the poisonous weeds. He's done everything. He's sown whatever during winter to make sure that his fields are rich, that his pastures are thick and his pastures are green for the sheep when they're going to come into those particular fields. And you'll see he puts a fence or a stone wall, whatever, because he wants to put a protection. And then he makes a shelter. He makes something for sheep in many places because of the blizzards and the winter winds and the storms, that the sheep will have a place of refuge and safety in the time of storm. And you find a genuine shepherd when he puts those sheep in the field. I was reading about it this week, about what your shepherds really do. It's an amazing thing even in this day to see just how much that shepherd has to personally watch over those sheep. Because it's so easy for sheep to go astray. It's so easy for sheep to get parasites. It's so easy for different types of flies and different types of bugs, or for sheep to eat things which they shouldn't. And if anybody's ever seen pictures of a sheep on its back, they call it when a sheep is cast. It's so easy for sheep when they lie down. Maybe there's a bit of a depression and they lie down in the green grass and they just fall over onto their back. And it's impossible for that sheep to get itself back up. And if the weather's hot, within a few hours, that sheep will die. If the weather's not hot, maybe a couple of days. But that sheep just lies there. And there's a buildup of gases inside of that sheep. And after a while, it struggles to breathe and do different things. And the shepherd has to be quick to see the sheep when it's in that kind of a position. And if he's got a good shepherd, somebody whose watchful eye is over his flock, the sheep don't suffer very much. Yes, they're going to get into misfortune. There's going to be things which they didn't intend to get themselves caught up in. Like you find the tendency of sheep, they'll see under those thorn bushes, they'll see the grass is the greenest under there. It's growing thick and green. So they try to squeeze themselves in to get some of that green grass. And then because of their will, now they get caught in the thorns. And the more they try to free themselves, the more they get entangled in the bondage of those thorns. Just as much as us as human beings. We say, hey, let me do this and let me do that. And then we become alcoholics. We become addicted to nicotine, drugs, pornography, all these things. And then we try, and the more we try to get ourselves out of those things, many times the deeper we just get ourselves in it. And that sheep is going to stay then. If he doesn't have a shepherd with the correct credentials, a shepherd that really loves his sheep and is watchful over his sheep, that sheep is going to suffer. He's going to suffer there. But the good shepherd's going to come with his staff, and he's going to use his staff to part those thorns. And he's going to pull his sheep out of that condition. And every one of us as believers, how many times has the Lord has to come to you in your Christian life to pull you out of circumstances that you got yourself in? Because it's a tendency of sheep to continually go astray. It's a tendency of sheep that when they get themselves in trouble, just give it a few more days, they're going to do the same thing again. And it's very hard for them to learn those kind of lessons. But if you have a shepherd who really cares for your soul, if you have one, like the Bible says, the shepherd of Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Other shepherds now, earthly shepherds, they sleep, but Jehovah doesn't have to sleep. He knows all things. He sees all things. He knows your thoughts even now. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through and how he longs to express himself as a shepherd to minister to the needs of the condition that you are in now. But friends, let me tell you one thing. Jehovah only shepherds sheep. If you want to be a goat, if you think you know better, the goats have the butt syndrome. They butt everything. Butt this, butt that. Yes, I know the Bible says that, but. I know I should do this, but. You get yourselves in a lot of trouble like that. But the moment that you're willing to become like a sheep once again, you're willing to submit yourself to the shepherd as a sheep, you find the shepherd's willing because of the greatness of the attributes inside of himself and his desire. He wants to express himself as a shepherd. He wants to minister to the situation that we're in. And that is why sometimes it's a process to establish a relationship between a shepherd and sheep, especially if a sheep has been under a hard shepherd before. It's quite a process for that shepherd to earn the trust of that sheep. When he buys that sheep with the price and he brings it from where it was, being abused, or the dry pastures, or the hard conditions that it was brought up in, when he brings it from there and he puts it now into his pasture, it's going to take a process for a trust relationship to be developed. And friends, this year I desire that the most inside of my soul. I want to trust him more. I want to trust him more. Because the greatest benefit that a sheep can do is to fully trust in a good shepherd. You get rest for your soul. Imagine that sheep when it has full confidence in the shepherd. Full confidence. It's a time-tested relationship. He's seen the shepherd's got it. The sheep's got itself in trouble. The shepherd keeps coming back patiently, bringing him and restoring him back. When the sheep's got sick, here comes the shepherd with the ointment, with the medicine, whatever. When the sheep are being attacked or in danger, the shepherd stands there. He protects his sheep. After a while, the sheep start to look and they say, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is to meet this man. The greatest thing. And friends, the greatest thing that ever happens to the soul of a person is to meet the good shepherd, the man Christ Jesus. Because over time, you start to learn that no matter what you do or where you go, he still watches over you. That even your foolishness, even our sins, even our trespasses are falling short of the glory of God, falling short of what we're supposed to be. How patient he is. Yes, shepherds have a staff and they have a rod, and those are used for correction as well. If sheep get out of line, they get disciplined by the shepherd because they have to learn the lessons. Many times he disciplines us as well, but it's for our own good because his love is corrective to us. But a shepherd, a sheep with a good shepherd, is the most privileged creature that you can see because he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to think about tomorrow. He doesn't have to worry, hey, how am I going to protect myself? Where am I going to find food? How am I going to cater for my needs tomorrow? Where am I going to find shelter during the winter? That sheep doesn't have to worry about that because that is all within the credentials of the shepherd. A good shepherd will cater for all of those things. And the longer you go as a Christian and the more that you trust in him. You know, I love that song. It says, learning to lean. You know the song. It says, I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Gaining more power. You know how it is, whatever the song says. It's so nice. But it's learning that you can trust him. But he's got to reveal himself to you and show who he is. And the more he reveals himself to you, the more willing you are because of who he is and the goodness of who he is to relinquish control into his hands. So that's what the privilege of a sheep, if it has a good shepherd. Now, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I like this psalm because it's David who says that. Now, there's teaching in religion these days that if you're prospering in material goods, it means you're spiritual. That if you're spiritual, hey, God's got to give you everything. Now, the good thing about this psalm is that David, if you go and try to find out when Psalm 23 was written, it seems to have been written about the time when Absalom rebelled against David. Remember, David was deposed from the throne and he had to go up the mount and he was weeping, a type of the rejected King Christ. And David had been through a lot of things in his life before he wrote Psalm 23. Because you go and read it, it's a mature man. You go and see the different things that he speaks about, his enemies and the different things. He had experienced enemies, had experienced want and need. So David, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's not saying that always your bank's going to be full, that your fridge is going to be full, that you're going to be promoted at work. It doesn't mean that. Because look at what David went through himself. David was persecuted by King Saul. Just because he was anointed King David, the prophet came to him and anointed him and said, you will sit on the throne. And he went and he slew Goliath, and there was jealousy now. He was the subject of jealousy. And King Saul now persecuted and harassed him until David had to flee. His wife letting him out of the window, fleeing for his life. And then David, he had days when Saul was chasing him. He had to sleep in the forest. He had to sleep in the caves. Times that he was sending to Nabal. Remember, Abigail's husband saying, please, we've looked after your young shepherds. Can't you please give us some food? Imagine that kind of a condition. You go and read the life of David. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't mean you won't go through afflictions in your life when he's your shepherd. Because what we many times look at, we look at these kind of psalms when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then you look in your life and say, but I'm battling with this at the moment. Maybe the Lord's not my shepherd, or where is my shepherd? I'll just give you a couple of scriptures here, which you'll find from the New Testament, if I can find them here. Psalm 34, verse 19. Let's read that one there. Just to remind ourselves again, just after where we are. Psalm 34, verse 19. Look what the Bible says. It says, and this is a psalm of David. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So even if the Lord is your shepherd, life's not going to be that easy, friends. You find many times when you commit yourself to the shepherd of your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept him. You go to the waters of baptism to make a public proclamation that the Lord is now my shepherd. I'm relinquishing all other shepherds. I'm putting myself fully into his hands. That's a declaration of war. That's a declaration of war. You are declaring war against the powers and principalities of evil and darkness that had a sway over you and had a hold of you inside of your life. You've joined the king's army now. There's going to be some conflict. And David, he knew that well. Because in David's life, from 17 years old up to 30, when he went on the throne, there was a lot of things that David went through. Look in Acts chapter 14, the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22. Let's see what the shepherd apostle Paul taught us in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Just to remind ourselves that even when he's our shepherd, it doesn't mean that life's just going to be easy. Acts 14, verse 22, Paul calls the people together in Antioch. And he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We must, not we might. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And David had been through his much tribulation before he came to the kingdom and took his throne. He had been one step. I have the scripture there, 1 Samuel chapter 20. You don't have to read it. But David, when he said it to Jonathan, he says, there's but a step between me and death. Imagine. This man, the Lord is his shepherd, but he's in a situation, there's just one step between him and death. But he's still under the control of his shepherd, and death doesn't get him. And friends, you're going to have sickness like Brother Bishop did, where there was just one step between him and death. Doesn't mean the Lord wasn't his shepherd. The Lord allows those things to happen. You will have misfortune in your life. Things will come right down, it seems, to the wire. That is just one step between you and disaster or misfortune or whatever, like Sister Lily, when they wanted to send her to Belgium. One step. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He'll take care of it. He will deliver me, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And that's what you learn. And that is why, friends, modern religion is giving a twisted idea of Christianity. They're trying to tell people, become a believer, become a Christian, and you know Jesus will make your life so sweet and so smooth. Yes, spiritually speaking, you're going to be at rest in your soul. You're going to rest in your soul. But outwardly, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be things that you're going to go through that you never expected that you're going to have to go through. You're going to make a stand for Christ and say, Jesus is my shepherd. Go to school next week and tell the people that and see if your friends are happy for them to tell you that. Go and tell the people of your community when you baptize. I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my good shepherd. And see how many people pat you on the back. There's going to be misunderstanding like David had with Saul. People are going to say things behind your back. Saul gathered his men and spoke evil against David. And was plotting and said, kill the man, go to his house. And David had to escape through a window. You go and read the life of David. So when David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, what is he meaning, friends? What is he meaning when he says that? Let me give you the definition of that word, I shall not want. This speaks, when you say, I shall not want, it's the sentiment of a sheep that is perfectly satisfied with its shepherd. That's what it is. When you're saying, I shall not want, this shows that you're saying, look, I don't care what comes. I'm perfectly satisfied with my shepherd. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm still perfectly satisfied with my shepherd. And that is the experience of anybody who's ever had a real, genuine, spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ is. It doesn't matter what he leads you through in life. It doesn't matter the hardship, the sorrow, the persecution. You found something that satisfies you perfectly inside of your soul. That even in the midst of it all, in the midst of trial, you say, I'm so glad he's my shepherd. I'm satisfied with him. I am perfectly satisfied to be his sheep. I'm so happy to be part of his flock. I'm so happy that he's the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. And friends, that's a lovely thing to find. That someone who has time-tested faith like David. He goes through this, he goes through that. He has to be separated from his father's house. Has to go down and live among the Philistines for a while. Has to take his parents to the king of Moab and leave them there because Ruth was his great-grandmother. He has to do all those things. He's wondering about what life has in store, but in the midst of it all, he says, I never had a regret making Jehovah my shepherd. I'm perfectly satisfied in my soul. I'm so glad that he's my shepherd. Yes, he's led me in paths that I didn't understand, like Goodfellow, the Psalm of Life, or Footprints in the Sands of Time. We know it very well. That sometimes you look back on your journey and you say, but Lord, you were supposed to be my shepherd. You said you were going to be with me right from the beginning to the end. But when life got hard, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And the shepherd says, my child, my sheep. That time when you see only one set of footprints, when things were so hard for you, I carried you. Because you couldn't make it yourself. And you wait until we get to the end of this journey as believers. And we're going to look back when we enter into eternity and all things are laid open and bare. And you see the mystery behind your life. And you see the things that you never recognized or noticed that he did for you in this life now. You're going to see so many things that is going to say, just there you would have died in a car accident. Just there there was evil just around the corner. Just there this happened, that happened, that happened. But I was your shepherd. It was my responsibility, even when you weren't looking, it was my responsibility to take care of you. Because that is what a shepherd does. And David, he knew that. He says, yes, I've been through hardship. I've been through misfortune. I've been through sorrow. It's been a rough road on the way to the throne. But how does he conclude it? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so satisfied with that. I don't want those other shepherds. I don't want the shepherds of the Philistines. I don't want the shepherds of the nations around and about me. I don't want these shepherds. I just want Jehovah Ra. I'm satisfied with Jehovah being my shepherd. And you look in the Bible at the genuine believers in the Bible, and you'll find that was their testimony as well. You know, Satan is a cruel shepherd. He's a hard taskmaster. Remember the prodigal son? We looked at it last week. The prodigal son, he was a sheep. He didn't think he needed to be under the father shepherd. He thought he could make his own way in life. And that's a parable Jesus told, speaking about us, man going astray in sin. And the young man takes his inheritance and he leaves his father shepherd's house. He leaves the fold and he thinks, I can do it on my own. And down he goes there, and the Bible says he wasted his inheritance with riotous living, wine, woman, and song. He went and he wasted what his father had delivered to him, all his talents and his abilities and everything that was delivered into his hands. He wasted it all. And the Bible says he began to become in want. And the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the moment you get yourself in want, it's clear the Lord's not your shepherd. And the moment he took himself out from under his father's shepherd, he got himself in want. And then like us, when we get ourselves in need, we're going to look somewhere for help. But instead of that young man going back to his father and saying, Dad, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. I've squandered the inheritance. I don't want to push this any further. Please forgive me for what I've done. He goes and joins himself, Jesus says, to a citizen of the country. And that was a cruel man. He didn't even give him food. Didn't even cater to his basic needs. That man just used him and abused him, took advantage and says, go and feed my swine. Gave him such demeaning work to do. And that young man was involved in things that he never ever would have dreamed that he was going to do in life. A Jew feeding swine and eating their food because nobody gave him any food. And no shoes on his feet because he was now a slave. Tattered garments, sleeping dirty among the pigs. And the good thing then, one day, something supernatural happened in the supernatural realm when his mother and father prayed for him, and the angel of the Lord went forth and found him down there, right in the pigsty, and spoke to his soul and told him, why don't you go back to your shepherd? Why don't you go back to your father? Your father, even his servants have bread enough and to spare. His pastures are green. His walls are sturdy. His heart is good. His provision for his sheep is more than enough. And the greatest thing that young man did was get to the end of himself and say, I cannot change the situation myself. The more I'm trying to fix the situation, the worse it's becoming. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father. I will go to my shepherd and I'll say, good shepherd, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called a sheep of your pasture. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Won't you just take me as a servant? And the Bible says when his father saw him a long way off, his father came running to meet him and he wanted to say, Father, please, I'm not worthy, I've sinned. And his father says, bring the best robe, clothe him, put the ring on his finger, put the shoes on his feet, because my son who was lost, the sheep that had gone astray, he's returned to the shepherd and bishop of his soul. And I'm sure the more you read that story, and if that story could have been extended into the future, you'd find that young man after that, he would have said, my father is my shepherd, and I'm perfectly happy under the present management. I don't want to go anywhere else. I found exactly what I'm looking for. I believe that young man never looked anywhere else after that because he had learned his lesson. And friends, once somebody really meets Jesus Christ and he reveals himself to you, like Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And some said, you are John the Baptist, you are this, that, and the other. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the good shepherd. You are the shepherd of Israel incarnate amongst us. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. But this is a revelation from Jehovah's shepherd. He's revealed this to you. And upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church. And it doesn't matter what the devil does, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And a genuine believer has caught a spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ and has made a decision that I want him to be my shepherd. I'm tired of being under the yoke of others. I want to come under his yoke because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. you find a person like that, they'll never go looking anywhere else. You know, I was reading about sheep and that characteristic in sheep, that certain sheep just have a restlessness inside of them. That no matter how nice their pasture is, they want to go and stand by the fence and they want to look across in the other field. And you know, you've seen them by the road, sticking their neck through the fence. Instead of eating the lush pasture, they're trying to just get to that one that's just a little bit out of reach. That's the characteristics of sheep. And they get themselves in a lot of trouble doing that. And this one shepherd was speaking about one of his sheep. It was the most beautiful ewe that he had, the mother sheep. It was the strongest. It had such nice lambs. And he said, but that mother ewe had a restlessness inside of herself. She never rested in him being the shepherd. And she always was looking in the other field, though the next door neighbor didn't look after his sheep well, and his pastures were brown. And his sheep were not well nourished. And every opportunity that mother could have, because they lived next to the sea, and the fence went down to the sea, and when the tide would go out, there was sometimes a little bit of a gap where the sheep could go around into the next field. And that sheep, mother sheep, that ewe, she kept going next door. And they'd have to bring her back. And then he started to see, but this is bad, because she started to teach her lambs to do the same thing. And then it started to affect the rest of the flock, because they also started to learn those bad habits. And you know what the solution was? He had to take his killing knife, and he had to do away with her, because she never fully accepted him as the shepherd. And friends, I hope that isn't your lot in life, that you meet Jesus, the good shepherd. You're in his flock for a while, but you're always looking out there. You're always envying the sheep out there. You're always trying to find something new. The genuine believer who's really experienced salvation and redemption in their soul, they say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm perfectly satisfied under his management. I'm perfectly satisfied with this condition that there is. I'm perfectly satisfied with the way that things are. I'm not looking for another shepherd. I found the one that my soul has been thirsting for all down through these years. And genuine believers here, if you ask you to put up your hands, you'd put up your hands and say, that's your experience when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon me, you will find rest for your soul. Yes, though in the world you'll have tribulation, but you will find rest for your soul. And he says, and lo, I am with you, even in you, right to the end of the age. The shepherd goes with you and in you, and he'll keep your soul, because he's the shepherd of your soul. He is responsible to make sure your soul is delivered safely to the sheepfold at the end of this life, to its destination. And that is the privilege, friends, that we have. And David, he had a revelation of that. He had a real, real revelation. He was so proud and so happy to proclaim, I'm so glad Jehovah is my shepherd. I'm glad to testify Jehovah is my shepherd. There can never be anybody with greater credentials. Him who created us. Him who has all things in his power. He who put the stars in the orbit. And the Bible says he knows them all by name. Imagine having a shepherd like that. Who could want a greater shepherd? And not only that, but that great Jehovah God who covers time and eternity. He came down and condescended and came into the good shepherd, Christ Jesus. And he came and he laid down his life for his sheep, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus came and took our sin, our transgressions, our tendency to go astray and the penalty of that. And he paid the full purchase price for us to be redeemed back to the shepherd. Friends, why would we look for another shepherd? Why would you look for somebody else? You're not going to find it out there. God says in Jeremiah, in the Bible, he says, my people have committed two iniquities, two evils. He says, firstly, they've forsaken me, the fountains of living water. He says, that's bad enough, but they've gone and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, which can hold no water. And imagine a sheep leaving a place where there's pure, crystal clear springs of water. Lush, fresh, nourishing pastures. A shepherd who's ever watchful and ever vigilant over their welfare. Imagine. Who protects them and feeds them and guides them. Imagine a sheep forsaking that kind of a thing. And going out there under those cruel shepherds that don't look after their sheep, that fleece their flock, where there's no pasture, where there's broken cisterns, holes in the ground full of all manner of dirt, all manner of things that bring disease. And you'd rather go and drink from there rather than you drink from the fountains of life, which Jehovah offers to us. That's why the Lord says, my people have done two evils. Then he says in Jeremiah, he says, I am astonished. I am hurt for my people. He says, my people, the daughter of my people. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? There's balm in Gilead. There's ointment for the sheep. There's everything that they need in me. He says, why then is the health of my daughter not yet recovered? Why is Israel still suffering? Why is she still nervous? Doesn't she know the shepherd that she's got? And in my bag, I've got everything. And in my rod and staff, I'll protect them. In my bag, I've got all the ointment, the balm of Gilead, and everything that's needed to soothe everything which they've been going through. And as we close, friends, I really desire that for myself. Amen. When I was reading these things this week, I said, Lord, you said it in the Bible. You said they have limited the Holy One of Israel. I said, Lord, I don't want to limit you. If I could just have a deeper revelation of who you are as my shepherd, I would rest far greater. I'd be perfectly at peace. Though the enemy assail you, what did David say? He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Imagine that. He's just so satisfied. He says, I don't care about these external circumstances. I just want to sit with my shepherd and eat his food. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He says, when I was in those forests there, goodness and mercy was following me. When Saul was chasing me that one day, and I went around one side of the mountain and Saul came around the other, the Bible says, just at that time, there came word to Saul that the Philistines had invaded. And Saul had to go with his men and leave David. That was the shepherd watching over his sheep. Though maybe David didn't fully understand. But in the midst of every trial and every circumstance, the shepherd was governing David, the shepherd king. He was watching over him. And friends, let that be our testimony as well. And let's boast before the devil. The final story, you think of the book of Job. You think of that cruel shepherd, taskmaster, the devil. He has contempt for the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He comes down and the Lord says, the shepherd says, have you considered my sheep, Job? There's none like him. He trusts in me. The devil says, oh, who's Job? Take your hand from him. Stop blessing him. Let me touch him a little bit. He won't want you as his shepherd anymore. He only wants you as his shepherd because of the things that you give him. And the Lord knew the true heart of his sheep. He knew. It doesn't matter what you do to this man, Job. He's always going to be my sheep. And he's always going to want me to be his shepherd. And the devil comes down and takes away his children and his flocks and his prosperity and all of that. They come to him and they say, Job, all of this misfortune's come upon you. What do you say about your shepherd now? He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Friends, that's a man with a revelation. That's a man who knows, I don't understand what's happening in my life, but I'm still satisfied with my shepherd. I'm not looking, I'm not putting out applications there to find a new shepherd because of the things that I'm going through. He's always been good to me. He's always been faithful to me. And though he takes me through this now, Job says, when he's finished with me, I'm going to come out like gold. And then the devil says, okay, let me touch his body. A man will give anything but for his life. He says, go and touch him, but don't take his life. Imagine the shepherd allowing the devil to come into the sheepfold, to afflict the sheep, because he has confidence in his sheep. And he comes and he afflicts Job, and Job's sitting there with the boils on the ash heap, and he's scraping his boils. And his wife says, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you renounce the shepherd? You don't need the shepherd anymore. He says, you're speaking like a foolish woman. Shall we receive good and shall we not receive evil from the hands of the Lord? He says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see what the Lord wants many times when he puts afflictions and troubles on us? He's boasting before the devil, like that brother Doug said to us before Christmas. He says he puts last things to come to the Lord so that the Lord can boast and say, have you considered my sheep? And the devil will try everything that he possibly can and you'll still at the end of all say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm perfectly satisfied under this current arrangement. I'm not intending now in time or eternity to change the way that things are. I found the shepherd I was always looking for. I may not understand all the ways that he leads me. I may not understand the paths, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I might not understand all of the paths. Some of them are dark and some of them are hard. But one thing that I've learned, if I just let him lead me to the end of the journey, something good always happens. He has a purpose in everything that he does. And friends, that is the testimony of the Bible concerning our great shepherd. And that's why there's only one that has the great credentials. There's only one who laid down his life for you and I, and that was Christ. There's only one that has the power to watch over us, that has the omniscience to know all things. There's only one who's worthy. There's only one who has the attributes. There's only one who has the qualifications today to be the shepherd of your soul. And the greatest thing that you can do, like I said, the greatest thing a sheep can do is recognize a good shepherd when it sees one. And put itself under a good shepherd's full control. Because from that day forth, everything is going to be taken care of in the life of that sheep. Everything. Because it's the shepherd's responsibility. And the greatest thing that you and I can do with our souls tonight is commit them into the hands of the good shepherd. It's come unto me, all ye that labor. You're toiling, you're burdened, you're heavy laden. You've got this burden on your back, and the more you walk upwards trying to fulfill your obligations in life, the heavier it becomes. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get rid of the devil's yoke. It's a yoke of bondage. Get rid of traditional religion yoke. It's a yoke of bondage telling you must do this and you must do this. And no, you don't need to do anything to be saved except for come to the good shepherd. That's it. You just come and you say, I want to take your yoke upon me. And you relinquish all your old shepherd relationships and say, I'll walk with those shepherds no more. They are not my shepherds. And our brother wants to be baptized on the weekend. That's the testimony that he wants to make. He wants to make a clear-cut point, a dividing line to say, from today, those are my shepherds no more. Today and from henceforth and for time and eternity, I'm testifying publicly before you all that the Lord is my shepherd. Though sickness may come, though misfortune may come, though this and that may happen, but he's going to be my shepherd and I'm going to stay with him and he's going to lead me all the way through. And he finishes off the psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was David's desire. He says, I've been through so many things. That's right. But all that made me desire more was the presence of the shepherd, was to be in his house, was to fellowship with his flock, to be part of his flock in his house, in his sheepfold. I just want to be part of this shepherd's sheepfold in his house all the days of my life and then go to glory, to the eternal sheepfold that the great shepherd has made for us. Friends, you know where you are today. You know what you're going through. The best thing you can do is pray for a deeper revelation of what a shepherd really is. And if you would catch a deeper revelation of what the shepherd really is to the sheep, and you would just be a sheep, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find rest. You won't be struggling for this and that and the other. You'll just leave it in his hands, saying, I found a shepherd with the full credentials. The shepherd and the bishop of my soul. And like David, you will say, the Lord Jesus, he's my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand. Let's sing before we pray and close. Let's sing that song that Brother George was singing with us before. Thy loving kindness is better than life. That's a testimony of something from before and something from now. David is saying, I used to live a certain kind of a life, but thy loving kindness, it's better than that life. My lips will praise thee, thus will I bless thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life.
Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall
thy loving kindness is better.
Says, you cannot serve two masters. You can't have two shepherds, friends. Wherever you are tonight, you've got one shepherd. There's one who's governing you. And either he's going to lead you to destruction, misfortune, to steal, to kill and destroy, or he's going to lead you into the kingdom. So it'll be a good thing for us now to establish inside of ourselves, honestly with our own souls, who is my shepherd today? David says, Jehovah is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? Answer yourself honestly and then ask yourself, do you want that current arrangement of who has management of your life to stay the way that it is? And many of us, maybe tonight, we should be saying, I don't want this present management anymore. I want to renounce him. I want to turn my back on him. I want to come from Moab. I want to cross Jordan. I want to come into Boaz's field. I want to come into the promised land. I want to meet Boaz, the Lord of the harvest. Let that be your desire as we sing another song.
Rock of ages, clear for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood come thy woe. Double kill.
church was a real sheep, Paul, those two, Paul and Silas, that in the midst of those circumstances, they'd been beaten with rods, they'd been accused, imprisoned. But at midnight, they sang, "I bless your name." They said, "We don't mind about the circumstances here, the criminals all around us, the deepest dungeon, the stocks on our feet. We're still glad the Lord is our shepherd. And there's a purpose in him bringing us here." And at midnight, they started to bless his name. And the earth shook. God delivered them and brought redemption to the Philippian jailer. What a wonderful thing that it is. In all things, to give thanks, like the Bible said.
In praise there's chains
with bleeding stripes.
All inside.
I bless your name.